Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. So we have another solo episode today, and hopefully the sound quality will be better than last week. I know what happened last week. I will make sure that it doesn't happen again, but apologies that the audio was a bit quieter than it should have been for the last episode. So today our topic is talking about what happens when we don't show up as ourselves in another language, because I have a mentoring program called Discover Your Voice in English. And I think in some ways we're always discovering our voice, not just our physical voice and how we use it, but who we want to be, how we want to communicate. I think that's like a lifelong journey as we get to know ourselves better. But it's definitely true that doing this in an authentic way can be a bit harder in our additional languages because we don't have as many tools available to us as we would have in our first language. So the mentoring program, the idea for that came about because I wanted to help people who, you know, have a good level of English and who regularly use English, but still feel that somehow they're not quite being themselves when they're communicating with people in English. And I know that's definitely something I felt with my other languages. I have three that I'm working on actively at the moment. So German, Romanian and Portuguese in the order of ability. With German, it is easier. With Portuguese, it is harder. And Romanian is somewhere in the middle. But I know that especially with German, I've gone through this transition whereby it was very difficult to express myself. And now it has got a lot easier now that I've been working with the language for longer, because that's the language that I started in at school time. But still, there are times when I think, oh, I sound much more intelligent in English. I could explain that so much better. I still have those moments, and maybe that's something that we will always find. I don't know, but I think it definitely gets easier. And I wanted to look today at some of the strategies that we use that maybe don't serve us so well in the long term, and how we can get past using some of those strategies, relying on them. Maybe they made us feel safe and good in the past, but that they don't always help us in the long term, so that we can really discover who we are and how we want to communicate. So when I talk about the voice here, I'm not just talking about, you know, your voice and how you use your voice. I'm talking about how you communicate and the words you choose that belong to you, that are part of your vocabulary because you like to use them, or the words that you avoid, because there are some words I just think, I don't want to use that word, that expression. I hate that expression. It's not, I don't want it to be part of my active vocabulary. There's nothing wrong with it particularly, but it's just not who I am. And in every language that we have, we make these decisions like which words do we think sound good, how do we want to express ourselves. So it's how we connect with other people as well. And sometimes it's harder to be the real us everywhere that we go, you know, because we're always with different groups of people. Maybe our friends, our family, our customers, our colleagues, if we have colleagues, you know, there are lots of different ways in which we choose to communicate, and that makes sense for the situations that we're in. But really, I'm talking about things that we do that we wouldn't normally do, that don't really feel like us. So I think it's really important that we do this, especially for people who are the face of their businesses, because often the way that we communicate, it begins to build these relationships with other people, with potential clients, with collaboration partners. We have a big responsibility there to think about our brand's voice as well as our voice. They don't have to be the same, but they are, when we are representing what we offer, then there's something else to think about there in terms of how we want to do that and whether it's really in line with how we normally communicate in our first language. So I'm going to talk about five things today. Some of them are things that my clients do, but to be honest, I just looked at some of the things that I've done and I came to five things, so I didn't have to look very far. And it's not all about the problems here. I do want to talk about some solutions as well, because I think with all of these things, if you recognize them, there is a way past them, and there are things that you can do to change them. So The first thing is, I think it's the most obvious, and the thing that maybe many people can relate to is reducing what you want to say to what you can say. So obviously, it's better to do that than to say nothing at all. To say 50% even of what you wanted to say is better than not to contribute anything. But I think a lot of us have been in a situation where we would have maybe given a lot more detail or explained something better. Sometimes we feel that it's not a true reflection of how we would have told the story or given the information if we're having to think about which words are missing and how we can get past the fact that we don't know that word. Or, it's just things often flow easier in a language, either our first language or one that we're a lot more familiar with. So we reduce sometimes. And that's not so good in a business context, because maybe you don't come across as such an authority on your subject if you don't give all the detail that you would have been able to give otherwise. So you don't show your level of knowledge. It can be harder to build rapport with people, because if you're reducing what you want to say, then you may just stick to the facts, and so all the ways that you are personable, sometimes they are lost, because you think, oh, we don't need that. I'm just focusing on what's really important for this message. And but actually, those are the things that help to build rapport and to help to build relationships with other people. And it can take some of the emotion out. And we're looking to make connections and relationships with people. It's not just about facts. We're not just machines. So if we reduce some of the emotional content of what we're saying as well, we can it can be take longer to build relationships with people. So one way to get around that is to, I think, to find ways where it's not such a high stakes situation. So find ways to build confidence and to say more in situations where something really important isn't where you're not working towards something really important, for example, with a potential client. So build up your confidence in the places where it's not as important. Maybe find some nice people. And try things out with them, try to say a bit more than you would have said otherwise. People who are patient, people who make you feel relaxed. So if you want to speak, for example, speak in front of a small group of people rather than going straight for a big conference or something like that. So build up your confidence so you don't get stuck at this place where you always reduce. And it doesn't have to be overnight. It's a gradual process, but be aware of it and try to say more in situations where it's easy for you to do so, and then it should be that it's easier to do that in other situations as well. So that could be getting some language training. I do offer language training, so that does help some people. Or it could be something, I don't know, where you have a language exchange or something where you are helping somebody else. Whatever works for you, but try not to get stuck at this point, because I think this can happen when you have a fairly good level of a language, then you can get kind of stuck that you don't push yourself any further, and don't challenge yourself. And yeah, it is harder to do that as somebody who is representing their business, but there are definitely places where you can do that in a safer space, like you have the Conversation Club and places where everybody's in the same position, and it doesn't feel as challenging, maybe. Okay, the second point is kind of the other end of that scale. So some people reduce what they want to say, and I noticed when I started working in a German team many, many years ago now, but it's something that I've remembered and trying not to do now. I wrote too much. So we were in a team where a lot was done by written communication, lots of, written messages, emails. That's how the team worked. And I was fine with that, because it meant I didn't have to speak with anyone. And at the time, I was much more comfortable in that kind of situation. But particularly when things got a bit challenging, or where people had different opinions, and when we had to try and convince people to do things differently, I was an over-explainer. I wrote too much. I found three ways to explain the same point when one would have done. And I'm not really like that in English. I'm much more direct, but I think I felt I was aware that this was my second language and I wanted it to come across well. So I gave too much information. And I think sometimes people can do that when they feel a bit nervous. But this isn't good, because it's not fair. Nobody's got time to read all that information. It is also potentially boring, because it's the same point in multiple ways. You can also make more mistakes. The more you write, the more likely you are to make a mistake. And it dilutes your message because people have to think, what does she actually want to say here? So I would like to think I don't do that anymore, but it is something that you can fall into. It's not how I would normally communicate, and it also didn't give a very fair representation of me. So not very good. And that the way around that I would say is to read things again before you send them, not to worry so much about did I make it very, very clear, but like what is the main point that I want to make here? Am I getting it across? How much could I cut? And it would still make the same point effectively. Okay, so the third thing is something that I do. I know I do it. I still do it with a couple of my languages, but being more quiet or passive than you are normally. And this isn't to say that everyone needs to be loud and the center of attention, because to be honest, I'm not that in English either. I don't need to be in the middle. Sometimes I like to observe and listen to people. I think you could learn a lot more when you're listening than when you're speaking. But at the same time, I definitely contribute more when I feel comfortable. And if I feel nervous, then I become quite passive. I become quite quiet. And that's not really fair, especially in a situation where people don't know you, because they could think you're always like that. Or maybe in a networking situation, if you're the one who didn't say very much, it's going to be much harder to remember you. I mean, if you've got nothing to say, I don't think you should speak just to be remembered, because then you're going to be remembered as the person who was not adding value but kept talking. But if you would normally say more and you're putting restrictions on yourself because you're feeling nervous, then that can limit your effectiveness in that situation and make it harder for people to get to know you and to get to know what you have to add. So some of the problems here, like people could be helped by knowledge or ideas that you have. I remember being in a German meeting when I had a possible answer to the thing that we were trying to resolve, and I didn't share it until later, because but I could have saved a lot of time that way if I'd shared it earlier. People may have a wrong impression of you, which isn't so good, because they're not getting to know you, and the whole kind of know, like, and trust factor doesn't happen if people can't get to know you, because if they don't know you, it's harder to like and trust you, because they don't have a true reflection of who you are. So what do you do about this? I think it's hard. Again, for me, it definitely helps to build up from like just talking to one person. I really enjoy one-to-one conversations. I definitely enjoy one-to-one conversations a lot. So I build up my confidence there with people that I know, or and that may be what you choose to concentrate on. Maybe you don't want to be in bigger groups, but I definitely think, like, so as to not get stuck here. I think for me, I never really did get stuck, but it took me a while, and all the people that met me while I was doing that didn't really understand who I was. And now I think I'm older, I would like to reduce that time. But I think that the main message here is keep trying. So showing up and being quiet is better than not showing up at all. But you could just set yourself a goal, like, I want to say one thing, or I want to, contribute one idea, and start with that, and make sure you've got something useful to say. But don't set the bar too high, because you're not going to change into someone else overnight. But give yourself small, achievable goals within that setting that you know that you can do, even if it's a bit uncomfortable, and then move on, because it doesn't mean that you're always going to be the person who is talking. But if you feel that there's a disconnect between how you normally are and how you are in this situation, then that's something that you can work on, just to take small steps to being a bit more involved and a bit more active. And the fourth thing is being less confident in general, because I know that a lot of my confidence comes from being able to communicate my ideas, to be articulate. And so when that's taken away from me, some of my confidence goes as well. And I think that can also show in the way we speak, like not speaking as clearly, not speaking as confidently, because we're not sure about the words that we're using, but that doesn't mean we're not sure about the idea that we're trying to get across or the point. And sometimes when you have a very shaky and unsure voice, that can suggest that you're not sure about what you're saying. And that could be a problem if you are trying to convince somebody of something, if you're trying to persuade somebody, if you're trying to sell an idea or a service. If you don't sound like you believe in what you're talking about, then that's really detrimental to what you're trying to do. So thinking about building confidence, I think it's hard to pretend to feel confident when you don't. I think that's something that all of us try to do sometimes, to come across as more confident than we really are. I've done that before, and it helps because if you start to believe it, you do find some confidence. But again, find some ways to, even in small ways, to put yourself in situations where you will need to come out of your comfort zone if that's not something you already do. So try to, confidence doesn't get built by not doing anything challenging. The confidence comes if it's not there naturally, if it's something, an area that you want to work on and feel more confident in, it comes by actually doing the thing. So not setting yourself up to fail by doing something which is completely like far away from what you're already doing now, but finding something that will challenge you enough but still feels achievable, and doing that regularly does help you to build your confidence. Because if you don't do that, you don't take up enough space, you don't let people know who you are, and you don't share the knowledge that you have. And then the fifth thing, I don't know if anyone else does this. I don't know if it's particularly something that teachers do. I know I have done it as a language learner, but I learned fairly early on when I was using other languages that asking questions is a great way to not have to talk. And I think partly that is because I'm a teacher, and I also am somebody who is really interested in people and what they have to say and their experiences. So it comes quite easily to me to ask questions. But at the same time, I mean, and that is a good thing, that helps me to build good relationships with people. It helps me to have interesting conversations, and it's a skill. It's a strength, but I can also turn it to weakness, as many strengths can be if you go too far with them. And I use that so that I don't have to speak. So like I can think in networking situations in Romanian, for example, I asked a lot of questions of my conversation partner because then they would have to speak and I didn't. So I got to find out a lot about them, and that was useful, but they didn't get to find out very much about me because I was like controlling the conversation by asking another question. And I genuinely was interested. So if anyone's listening now that, was involved in those conversations with me, I genuinely do care about other people, but I also know that I rely on this technique so that I don't have to talk as much. And that can be a bad idea. For example, in a networking event, I would seem that I was somebody who was really interested in other people, but they wouldn't really remember very much about me, apart from maybe that I was the only non-Romanian, non-native speaker there who was trying to participate in a networking meeting for Romanian speakers. But I could have made better use of the time and shared it out more effectively if I'd had the confidence to actually speak and not just ask questions all the time. And sometimes I've even noticed myself doing that in my own language lessons. Like I'll ask a really interesting question to the teacher, and then the teacher explains the complicated grammar point, which I do want to know about, or some cultural point. But sometimes when I'm feeling nervous about speaking, I do this, and it's not a good thing. I learn a lot, but I don't always do what I should be doing at that time. But it makes me feel safe. And sometimes I think with all the coping strategies that they have, if they make us feel safe, it's very hard to let go of them because we know that in the past they helped us. But the problem with feeling safe is they don't always help you to grow. They just keep you feeling safe but not moving forward. And I think for anyone, whether it's developing your business or developing your language skills, we should always be thinking about growth and how we can learn something new and do something differently or better, and not just what makes us feel comfortable. So a lot of these issues are things that I know other people can relate to, some of the things that I've done, and that's why I think it's really important to be a language learner, because now I've got these three languages at different stages. I use German at work. I use Romanian if required, though not so much, and I don't use Portuguese yet because it's not good enough. But or my Portuguese is not good enough. But I know how it feels to kind of push through some of these challenges, especially with the German, because I've had more experience with it. But I also know how it feels if people are experiencing any of these challenges or using any of these coping strategies. I've been there, so it's not something that I don't understand. And for anyone who's interested in finding out more about the mentoring program, it really is a way for you to look at your own journey with English. And it's the chance for you to really like take stock of where you are, because a lot of the people with whom I'm working are, they have good English skills. They probably are using English a lot of the time in writing, that their understanding is good. But there's just this point that they've got to where they feel a bit stuck because they don't feel that they're communicating as they would like to, or that people don't get to know the real them because they aren't communicating in the way that they would in their first language. So we look at some of those areas in the mentoring program. It's 11 weeks. It's in English, and we talk about your challenges, what you would like to be able to do, what ways that you could use English for your business would work for you, because not everything will work for everybody. So on one hand, you're looking at challenges and how to overcome them, and what strategies you could implement to overcome some of the challenges. But at the same time, we're also looking at, what things do you want to focus on that actually help you to shine more, that make it easier for you to communicate? What ways can you do that that are good for you and that you would actually enjoy? And at the same time, I will be giving tips and ideas to help you move forward once we've established where you want to go. But the idea of being a mentor, it isn't having a teacher with like a specific course. It's very much focused on you, what you want to achieve, and somebody who has probably been through similar challenges and can give some advice through my years of teaching experience and working with people who are developing their language skills, and what might be easier for you, and how you can get to where you're going, and having the support of someone for this 11 weeks to be on that journey with you. So if you want to know more about that, you can, I will add the link to the show notes page so that you can find out more about the mentorship program and what we will do in it. Every session, of course, is different because it depends on who's there and what they're saying. But this is a one-to-one program because I think that's how mentoring programs work best, because then we're really focused on you and what you're saying in each session. But you can see the outline of the sessions on the page, which I will add. It's called Discover Your Voice in English. And so if you have any questions for me about that, you can get in touch either Kirsty at Englishwithkirsty.com or through the show notes page. And even if you don't, have a think about, are there any strategies that you're using that are preventing you from really using your voice in another language, or even in your first language? Are there things that you do that kind of hide who you are and that prevent other people from really getting to know you? And if there are these things, what can you do so that you can move past that and try to rely on them a bit less and a bit less till eventually you don't need them at all? That's something to think about. Have a good week and have fun developing your language skills.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.